You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m.
Tonight we have Game 1 of the NBA Finals Cup up, 6:30 tip-off. We get the amazing Jimmy Butler and the underdog Miami Heat taking on what appears to be an unbeatable force in the Denver Nuggets. Ball Arena Game 1, Denver's waited a long time for this, and we'll break it down. We'll talk about it in general. Really excited to bring on a great friend of mine who has joined us here on Drive Time Sports for well over a decade, going back to the first year of the show. It's been 13 years. We've had Jabari Davis, who now is a producer with iHeartRadio. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about everything in between. Jabari, it is great to get you back on today. I love the conversations. Appreciate the time, my man.
Absolutely, my pleasure. And I'm not going to lie to you, no matter how many times you say it, just hearing it, it's been like 13, 14 years. Feels crazy. Just feels absolutely crazy, but it's an honor to be on each time, and I appreciate you having me.
I think the biggest difference, I had more hair when we first started this. I think that's the biggest difference.
We can all say that. I actually had hair.
Jabari, we're gearing up for Game 1 of the NBA Finals tonight. I mean, look, nobody could have predicted this, right? There was a time where I thought, okay, we might have a 7-8 matchup in the NBA Finals. That 7 from the West, I don't think would have shocked a ton of people, but the idea that this 8 seed out of the East, where, honestly, they probably should have been ousted by Chicago in the final play-in round game, and here are the Miami Heat. They've gone through the gauntlet. They've knocked off Giannis in Milwaukee. They've gone through a surging New York Knicks team, and then they topped who I believe is the most talented team in the NBA in the Boston Celtics. Now they have this juggernaut in the Denver Nuggets, but my goodness, what a run for Jimmy Butler, Coach Spo, and the Miami Heat.
Yeah, if anybody lies, okay, outside of Izzy Gutierrez, because by the way, heading into the preseason, he was the only person I saw, and I don't know if you went to to the set of Back to the Future 2 and got that sports fans almanac, but he actually is the guy they called in the preseason. It's going to be, and he said Miami over the Nuggets, and you know, that's crazy. But outside of him, no one could have anticipated this. You're exactly right. They probably, in all likelihood, should have gone down to Chicago in the play-in. If I'm not mistaken, they were down 5 with under 5, just a few minutes left to go. They they find a way to flip the flip the scripts and or flip the switch, if you will, and that's just basically how they've done it each round. It's really truly a testament to Jimmy Butler. It's truly a testament to Spoelstra. But you know what? It's not just just those two guys. As much as I used to turn my nose up to the notion of Heat culture, it is absolutely showing that the Heat culture is strong. And you know what? You can't heap enough praise on that group.
No, and Jabari, I agree with you. It's not just Jimmy Butler, and we've put a big emphasis on that really throughout the week here on the show, that there has been some really key supporting figures help Miami get to this stage. But we can't ignore what Jimmy Butler has accomplished. And I was thinking about this last night. Can you think of another instance where a team relied on an individual player for a run this magnificent in the postseason? Can you think of one?
I'm kind of cheating because we spoke of of a similar situation just before we started here. But Dirk 2011, Dwayne Wade 2006.
Yeah, Dwayne Wade. Yeah, that's a good call. Yep.
But honestly, the reason why those stand out is because they are standout performances. This is not the norm. Unpredictable to say the least. But no, you're right. While I don't want to, I certainly wasn't trying to take anything away from Jimmy and the greatness, by mentioning the others, you're exactly right that the conversation starts there, because without him, they're not in this game.
Honestly, I mean, I know that their playoff run ended unceremoniously, but going back to 2006 with Dwayne Wade, at times, this is reeked of Kobe and the Lakers in 2006, where that team really didn't have any business being in the postseason. But they took Phoenix, who was a 2 seed and a really good basketball team, 7 games. Jimmy Butler at times has been on that level.
Yeah, he's been on that level, except for now we're in the finals.
Exactly. Correct.
That's a great call. And for whatever reason, we're just going to keep this between us. For whatever reason, I put that run out of my mind for the Lakers. But that is an absolutely apt comparison and a great call.
Now, when we look at some of the supporting figures, one of the things that I love about the NBA, when we get to the NBA Finals, we can kind of go back and rehash some of the moves that we either discredited or didn't talk enough about around the trade deadline, around buyout season. And his numbers are not going to jump out at you, but there is something about Kevin Love when he gets into the postseason. This guy finds a way to get to the NBA Finals. I'm not saying they don't get there without Kevin Love, but I will say he's played a bit. You can't deny that he's played a role in this.
We that's also an excellent point, and you know, we make this reference at times, and yeah, it's a bit cliche, but to a certain degree, it plays in this case. There's a difference between an 82 game player and a 16 game player, and what I mean by that specifically for anybody that isn't aware of it, you know, like of that adage is, you know, there are guys that you want them on your squad, you need them on your squad during the regular season to eat up minutes, to, you know, to provide production, to do all of the things to get you through the course of a long season. And then there's guys that, what, you know, even if they're not necessarily playing the entire 16 game or the postseason, it's great to have them in the mix because of their know-how, because of their experience, because they've been through the fires multiple times. And honestly, I don't know that you can quantify the exactly what a guy like Kevin Love brings to the table for this Miami group. Just like, even though recently he's turned it on and he's been playing well, Kyle Lowry, what he contributes goes well beyond the box score. So, if you really start to look at this, and it's funny because oftentimes, I'm not being accusatory because I'm raising my hand for this as well. Oftentimes, when we're talking about sports, we're talking about grand things, or saying like, oh my goodness, it's unbelievable. But when you really stop and look at how Miami put this together, they built from within, they brought in the necessary pieces, and they brought in great support, pieces that play their role and are willing to play their role. And it's really not that much of a miracle that we're in this position, because, you look at that roster and it's kind of chock full of guys that either A, are highly qualified and highly skilled, or B, are at least willing to subjugate their game for the betterment of the betterment of the group, and I think that's how you end up with, like you said, an improbable 8th seed in the NBA Finals.
Again, Jabari Davis, our guest right now, as we preview the NBA Finals, talk about the two paths from both teams. Jabari, I love where you talk about the embitterment of the team. Okay, so we talk about the Denver Nuggets. It is also cliche to talk about the process. But the process is real, and there are teams that go through it, and at the end of the tunnel, there is a light. The Denver Nuggets personify that. When we go back to the bubble in 2020, this was a team that was dead in the water, and I remember going on a radio hit in Denver when the Jazz were up 3-1 on the Nuggets, and Donovan Mitchell was just on fire. He was obliterating anything in front of him. I said, this series is over, and it looks as if this team has quit on Mike Malone. They may want to consider a roster or a coaching change. And Denver rallied back. They win that series in 5 or 7. They go on to the Western Conference Finals. They battle with the Lakers, but they come up short. And you could see that something special was happening in Denver. And then Jamal Murray has a massive injury that kind of derails all the progress of this team. Since then, they've done a terrific job of building and not necessarily spending a ton of money, but also integrating their homegrown talent. I mean, to me, the Denver Nuggets are a perfect example of the process. And you can go all the way back to 2020 to see the trials and tribulations of this team. It just makes sense that they're where they're at right now.
Those are the exact stories that I love about the NBA, and you make an excellent point. Look, there are many different ways to win, but to me, and I want to make that clear, I'm not judging organizations that try to press the proverbial easy button and just go out and get throw together a couple big names. Look, the Lakers are one of them, so I'd be like, just to be clear. But there is something to a team that puts it together and, like you said, builds it organically. You watch the process, you see the steps, you see they're leveling up, in terms of their ultimate success, and here we are. So look, I know that Denver versus Miami doesn't quote unquote sound sexy, but this might be one of the better finals. No matter how long it lasts, whether it's 5 games, 6 games, 7, this might be one of the better finals. Actual series that we've had in a while, and I really look forward to it.
You know what's funny when we talk about Denver? I talk about previous radio hits with the Denver Nuggets because I have so many ties to Denver that I've been going on for a while. I remember when Jokic signed a deal, I want to say it was back in 2018, and people actually questioned if Jokic was going to be. I remember doing a radio hit in Denver, and the host flat out asked me, would you have gone through with this deal if you were the general manager of the Denver Nuggets? And I said, what other choice do you have at this point? We didn't know that Jokic would become the player he is here today in 2023, but regardless of what people want to say, Jabari, there were high question marks when Denver gave him all this money a few seasons ago.
Listen, Jordan, see, unlike other people that never want to admit that they're wrong, or never want to acknowledge when they sound silly, I am the opposite of that. I celebrate it because it's funny, because the reality is, if we're in this industry and we're picking and we're, you know, offering a commentary and opinions on everything, there are going to be times where we swing and miss. So to that, I say all of that because to that point, back in like, 2013 or 14, when Denver had a situation where they were dealing with the fact that they had Jusuf Nurkić as well as Jokic, I went out there and wrote an article saying, well, clearly the option is Jusuf Nurkić because he's more established and blah, blah, blah. Sometimes you don't know what you don't know, and you know what? While, when you look back on it and you can laugh about it, I'll be honest with you, it makes it that much more rewarding to see the incredible talent that's before us today. There was no way that I could have possibly known that this guy was going to be an all-timer. But Jordan, while you and I are always kind of careful about making comparisons, I won't say where he is or where he won't be. What I will say, and I can honestly acknowledge, Nikola Jokic is an all-time talent. All time. And honestly, we should all just appreciate it as we have it.
Oh, I agree. He's accomplishing some amazing things, and it's kind of weird to watch. Like, if you've watched the Denver Nuggets over the last 2-3 seasons, sometimes you question how this guy can do the things he can do. And I think that brings me to the next point, Jabari. When I start breaking down the NBA Finals, I wonder what Spoelstra has in store for Jokic. There's no possible way Miami can go out with a zone defense. I don't know if you allow Bam to kind of be the roamer the way AD did in the Western Conference Finals. I don't know what's in store. All I know is that if Miami does come out in a zone defense, it's going to be a layup drill for the Denver Nuggets. I don't know how you guard this guy. I think that's my biggest question going into the series. What does Miami have for Jokic?
I think some of the ideas that you just brought up are probably where he's going to go. I do not think zone is a good option. In the regular season, Denver was statistically the best team offensively against the zone. And guess what? In the postseason, statistically, they are the best team against the zone. They will destroy a zone. And quite frankly, while Coach Spoelstra is much smarter than any of us and all of us put together when it comes to, you know, X's and O's on the basketball court, sometimes you have to look across the way and say, oh, hey, they got a Shaq. Yeah, it doesn't look the same, but you remember in 2000, in 99 and 2000 and 2001 when the answer ultimately was, well, yeah, man, they got a Shaq. What do you want me to say? That's what we got here. So I say all of that, you know, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but to acknowledge, I honestly think that, you know, Miami's best option is probably to utilize Bam in a similar way that they, you know, that the Lakers tried to employ AD. But I honestly think no matter what you do on the defensive end against him, on the offensive end is where you have to get him going. On the offensive end is where you have to attack Jokic. I think from the very start of a series, again, whether it goes 5, 6, or 7, or however long it goes, you have to make him feel you. You have to get out in transition and move him up and down the court as much as possible. You have to put him in every action. Honestly, the only way I think you're going to beat Nikola Jokic is to tire him out from a physical standpoint and hopefully eventually a mental standpoint so that he can kind of come back to the pack.
Okay, we'll keep it basic, and it's no disrespect to Jamal Murray because we know how spectacular he's been, but due for the sake of time, we'll flip and say, okay, let's look at Jimmy Butler. Is this why you acquire a guy like Aaron Gordon? Is this why, if you're the Denver Nuggets, you sign a guy, you re-up a guy like Aaron Gordon, big, able body defensively that can bang and can make life difficult on Butler? He's not going to stop him, but I'll tell you what, after games 1 and 2 being at home in Denver, if Aaron Gordon wants to play physical on Jimmy Butler, he's going to feel it.
Yeah, if they permit Aaron Gordon to play as physically as I anticipate them, I think that's going to be a fantastic matchup. But honestly, kind of like what I said about Jokic, Jimmy is eventually going to wear somebody down. So, to your point, you have to have other bodies. To the point from earlier, you have to have other bodies that are that are willing and able. I don't necessarily know that I love a Michael Porter Jr. matchup against really anybody on this Miami team, and in particular Jimmy. But like, maybe some Michael Porter Jr., maybe some Bruce Brown, because he plays significantly. He seems to play significantly larger than his stature. KCP, who we've seen on championship runs, be able to play defend out of position and play above his stature. I think that's in order to slow Jimmy down, truly slow Jimmy down. Unless you just say like, hey Jimmy, you do yours, and we're going to stop everybody else. You're going to have to throw waves or different looks at him as well.
All right, Jabari. As we end it. Prediction time. I have said all week I'm going to go with Denver in five. Maybe I'm an idiot for picking against Miami yet again, but I just think they're too good. I think they wear them down. I think they take games one and two. Miami gets one before Denver closes this out on their home floor. Give it to me. What's your prediction for the series?
Well, Jordan, we're going to be two idiots like two peas in a pod, because I think it's going to be Denver in. I'm going to say this. I'll say Denver in six. And that is truly out of the respect that I have for Miami. I don't think it will be an easy series by any stretch. I think Denver is on paper the better team, as well as probably in reality. But, Miami has shown us, hey, don't count us out, and I'm certainly not going to. So, Denver, I'm still picking Denver, but I'm going to say Denver in six.
Jabari, it's a pleasure to get you back on. It's been far, far too long. Again, before I let you go, let the listeners know where they can find more of Jabari Davis.
Absolutely, my pleasure. Again, thank you for having me, and I look forward. I'll get on with you during next season. Before the postseason for sure. I'm simple. Find me on Twitter, Jabari Davis NBA. Please give the show a check. A chance. It's a fun NBA show that doesn't really take itself too seriously, and we're just looking for laughs along the way. It's called Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. It's a league show that's distributed through iHeart, and it can be found anywhere you get your podcasts.
Jabari, always a pleasure. Look forward to doing it again real soon. Enjoy game one of the NBA Finals tonight.
You too, my man. Thank you.
Always a pleasure to get Jabari on the show. Basketball enthusiast, great friend of mine, been contributing to the show for 13 years. We got to pause for just a moment. Final touches on today's edition of Drive Time Sports is coming up when we return.